Green is brought to you by Galinda Moser of Remax. Above the crowd. Visit remaxliving.co.za.
It's time for Being Green, and it's a very warm welcome, as always, on a Friday morning at this time to John Richards. Top of the morning, John.
Yeah, hi, Mark. I like these warm welcomes on a wintry morning, yes.
Yes, warms the cockles of one's heart.
Well, now, grit your teeth, because I'm going to say climate change.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, anyway, although you may think that the dreaded term is symptomatic of our recent, some would say, obsessive focus on the topic, and the almost daily news of fresh discoveries, warnings, and political reactions to climate change, the concern about what we are doing to our environment goes back a long way, about 30-odd years, in fact. Do you remember the ozone layer, the discovery of the annual depletion of ozone in the ozone layer of the atmosphere above the Antarctic, was first announced in a paper by Joe Farman, Brian Gardner, and Jonathan Shanklin, British scientists, and that appeared in the journal Nature in May 1985. Later, NASA scientists reanalyzed their satellite data and found that the whole of the Antarctic was affected. This was one of the most significant findings in environmental research and triggered many alarm bells. Do you remember all the fuss about CFCs in aerosol sprays and fridges and the Montreal Protocol that led to the Montreal Protocol? And that led to the banning of CFCs and one of the success stories of international intervention. Now, here's Jonathan Shanklin, one of the original whistleblowers and still going strong, speaking recently in this Natural History Museum recording.
Nobody had expected such a dramatic change to be seen over Antarctica. What the ozone hole does is it allows more ultraviolet light through to the surface. Now, that's a problem for living things at the surface, mostly, in fact, for us. Several things were key to our discovery. One was the fact that we'd used the Dobson ozone spectrophotometer for the entire period since 1956. That continuity was important because we could be confident that any changes we saw were changes in the atmosphere, not in how we made the measurements. It turned out that the reason we see an ozone hole over Antarctica is essentially because during the polar winter, temperatures fall below minus 78 Celsius, and under those conditions, nacreous clouds can form in the ozone layer. Now, these clouds are stunningly beautiful. They're also known as mother-of-pearl clouds. And although they're very beautiful, chemistry can take place on those clouds that converts chlorine from the chlorofluorocarbons, or CFCs, into an active form. And when the sun comes back in the Antarctic spring, that kicks into action chemical reactions that destroy ozone at about 1% a day. One outcome of our discovery of the ozone hole was the creation of the Montreal Protocol. This is an international treaty that bans the manufacture and release of ozone-destroying substances. Today, every single one of the UN member states has signed up, and the amount of ozone-destroying substances is going down. Nevertheless, because they're very stable gases, they'll be around for many years to come, and it may be 50 years before we can finally say that was the last ozone hole.
Yeah, the last ozone hole, much to be wished. Jonathan Shanklin, one of the original discoverers of the ozone hole, as it's called, in that recording on the British Natural History Museum's channel. What a channel that is. Great channel. Check out the resources there. There's so much. Now, just recently, it's reported that there is an increase in CFCs in the upper atmosphere. The Montreal Protocol science appraisal team says it's too early to tell what the source of the CFCs is or whether this is due to massively increased commercial production generally. But the status of the ozone hole needs monitoring, and rest assured it is being done. But the hoped-for increase in the Antarctic ozone layer has slowed down a bit. It's not likely to return to the pre-industrial level for another 50 years. Listen to the UV index forecast on FMR. Keep your dark glasses handy and remember the sunblock when you go outdoors. Yeah, you remember that fuss about the CFCs and what are they? Chlorofluorocarbons. Doesn't really matter what they are, but they were bad gases.
Yes, I do remember.
Yes, and apparently now they're appearing again. So, yeah, things come around, don't they? Well, play it safe. Join us again here on Being Green on Fine Music Radio next Friday morning. From me, John Richards, goodbye.
Thank you very much there to John Richards. If you'd like to hear this edition of Being Green or others again, then go to our webpage, www.fmr.co.za, and you click on podcasts. And within a couple of hours, this edition will be up on our webpage, and you can listen to it at your leisure. Wonderful audio clip this morning. Very, very interesting stuff.
Being Green was brought to you by Galinda Moser of Remax. Above the crowd. Visit remaxliving.co.za. Our blue planet is made up of air, water and land. Together they form the biosphere. When you add white and red to our blue planet, you get REMAX. Care, consciousness and commitment. At REMAX, we don't just work in the community, we live there too. That's why we are committed towards a sustainable ecosystem. Skills development and training. A home is four walls. Our vision is forever. Visit remaxliving.co.za. REMAX. Above the crowd.